Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Democratic Representative Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th District. Congressman, welcome back and so glad to see you.
Good to be back. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's begin. Rensselaer County, which you represent, was recently severely damaged by summer storms. What's the state of that recovery right now?
Yes. Yeah, so last week I received a text from County Exec Steve McLaughlin and asked me, you know, if I was in town. The Sand Lake community and surrounding area there, Rensselaer County, had been hit by a very, very severe storm, very bad flooding, and the roads had collapsed, culverts broke. And, you know, thankfully no one was hurt, but there was severe damage. And at the time, I was also expecting, you know, Secretary Vilsack of the Ag Department to be in the district. He was en route. And we decided that it was important in light of the infrastructure damage and the timing to, rather than meet as prepared and as planned, Secretary Vilsack at a farm to engage in a conversation about ag policy. Instead, to see if we can get him to join me in Rensselaer to be able to highlight some of the infrastructure concerns that, you know, are plaguing a lot of our communities. He was gracious enough to do that, and so we were able to spend some time on the ground with the secretary and talk about the need to make our infrastructure a lot more resilient. We met with folks whose homes were, you know, boxed in, damaged as a result. In some cases, I met a woman there whose business she operated out from her home as well that was damaged. People were hurting. People were obviously frustrated and in desperate need of support and relief. I had my team on the ground there, and it was good to have the secretary there as well because we could figure out ways to engage with potential relief options separate and apart from whether or not the damage is going to be enough to get FEMA to step in. But if we can get some more relief via the USDA, that could be a possible avenue as well. And the secretary assured me that his team would take care to make sure that they assess the situation on their end as well. So it is an ongoing conversation. We're working with local leaders to make sure we have what we need. We're telling folks to keep, you know, take pictures, you know, do everything you can to preserve a record so that we're in the best shape possible to assess the damage and to make sure that we can provide the needed relief.
No, it really is amazing, Congressman. We don't live that far away, but Rensselaer County was really hit in a way that other places weren't. Get any sense of what that was all about?
Well, what we know is that the storm pretty much just parked over one area for an extended period of time, and it was just serious, heavy, constant rain. And the topography of the county and in certain parts of it, as the water was accumulating and running, I just think the sheer volume of the water, you know, had an impact. And, you know, making sure that our infrastructure is up to date, is resilient, you know, for these types of extreme weather events is going to be very important as we move forward. And we think about an infrastructure bill, right? This is why we're talking about roads and bridges and making sure that what we have is modernized and upgraded so that it can withstand these types of challenges.
How about your house? My house had water all over the basement. What about yours?
Well, I have to tell you, I'm in Dutchess County, Alan, so I'm a little bit of a ways away from, you know, it's a good hour and a half, hour, 15-minute drive.
Wow.
You know, it's a big district, sir. You know, we got 11 counties in the district, you know, from Dutchess over to Ulster, all the way out to Delaware County and Greene and Schoharie and Montgomery, Columbia, you know, Ulster, a lot of counties. So, you know, for me, it was about making sure that I made the trip up to Rensselaer to make sure that I could see the damage firsthand. And then from there, you know, we can see what we can get done here in Washington.
Antonio Delgado, do you see a connection between the extreme weather events we're seeing here and around the world this summer and climate change? I mean, is climate change here?
Well, I mean, I think the science has made it, you know, abundantly clear that our climate is changing and changing in a way that is making it very difficult for us to live in a safe environment. You know, when you're talking about droughts, you're talking about in one part of the country, you're talking about flooding in another part of the country. And then, listen, climate change doesn't cause extreme weather events, but in terms of the frequency and how potent they can ultimately become, there's no doubt a correlation, and the science has made that clear. We have a responsibility to tackle this issue, not just in terms of being able to sustain ourselves in the here and now, but for the generations that are coming up behind us that are really going to feel the full impact. We've been talking about this issue for decades now. For decades, the temperatures continue to rise every year, annually. Some of the hottest, you know, years on record. Every single year, we're breaking a record, you know. And so, it's incumbent upon us to do the work, not just from a moral standpoint, but from an economic one. You know, we have real opportunities here to modernize and you know, create a system with our roads and our water infrastructure, our housing, to do things that, you know, really account for what we've learned over the last, you know, three or four decades on the question of climate, but also in the technology space, you know, how we create things, how we manufacture things. We are well suited to make this adjustment if we actually put our resources where they need to go. And in the process, we can create jobs. We can create jobs that ultimately will pay good wages for folks, green jobs that will have foreseeable future in terms of how we think about what we can do to build our economy from the ground up. So I think there's a real opportunity here. And that's why I introduced my Green Jobs and Opportunities Act. You know, for me, it was trying to figure out how we can really reach down into our middle schools, our high schools, our community colleges, and begin to train those individuals that are emerging into the workforce for the kind of jobs that we need to create and fill to tackle the climate change crisis.
So do you have the votes to do it?
Well, we have to actually get first, we have to get the bill introduced in vote on the actual House floor, right? There's a way this process works, right? We have a bill. We then, you know, seek out co-sponsors. Ideally, you want Democrats and Republicans. You want a bipartisan bill. Then you got to work behind the scenes to make sure you get enough support so that ultimately get brought to the floor. It's a very long process, and that, you know, it takes time. We're continuing to build our co-sponsors, continuing to push this forward, and definitely we'll do all we can to make sure that we can get it down to the floor for a House vote. Well, and then we can see what we'll, and then we'll see.
Yeah. How should, and this is something a lot of people are talking about, the infrastructure bill, which is on everybody's lips in politics right now, how should that be paid for?
Well, there's a number of proposals that have been suggested, and I think we need to consider a number of things. I mean, what we know is that, you know, when you look at the way in which the corporate tax rate was pulled down significantly back in 2017 and really added a lot of deficit, you know, to our economy in a way that wasn't particularly helpful, and also in a way that really, you know, disadvantaged a lot of, you know, everyday Americans. I think it's important to think about what we should be doing to revisit that rate. I mean, we cut it, you know, from 35 to 21, and that was a very significant cut. And I know there's been conversations about, you know, figuring out how to bump that back up. How many points is to be determined, but I think that's one area where I think given, you know, the constant challenges we face with inequity and with concentrated wealth in the hands of, you know, bigger and bigger companies and corporations, there's an opportunity for us to sort of make sure that people are, in fact, doing what they need to be doing with their profits and paying their fair share. And so we have an opportunity to do that. I think that's one place. I think there's been discussions about, you know, making sure that the IRS is supported in terms of its tax enforcement abilities so that we actually can close loopholes and make sure that we are tracking down the funds that are out there and that are available to make sure that, you know, we're having the kind of revenue that we need, that our country is actually able to generate. We generate a lot of money, a lot of wealth in this country, and it's been that way for decades. Productivity has continued to grow, but nonetheless, you know, people still struggle to afford housing, still struggle to afford childcare, still struggle to afford the basic necessities, never mind the fact they're going without broadband in certain parts of the country. Mm-hmm. And so we have a real opportunity here to figure out how to recalibrate and strike a better balance when it comes to creating more equity in our system.
Democratic Representative Antonio Delgado is of New York's 19th beautiful district. Congressman, I am so delighted that you are with us. It's always instructive for me to talk to you.
So we'll appreciate that.
And we'll come back and we'll do some more.